So welcome to another episode of the Family Goals with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. We are kicking off the new year.
Good to see you again, man.
Good to see you.
You brought presents, which was fantastic. Let me tell you something. If you think you know where this podcast is going, you have no clue. We had no clue. Listen up.
You ready to dive in?
Does a 100-pound flour make a big biscuit?
Does a what?
Does a 100-pound flour make a big biscuit?
I would think so. Do you eat biscuits?
No, but it makes a big old
biscuit.
I
didn't think you ate biscuits. Hey, we're in 2025. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. It's been a minute since the boys have been together. You know, I love driving over here from your house, from my house to your house. It's like we live in the country.
Yeah, like there's not a lot to see. That's good, isn't it?
It's pretty. There's like rolling hills.
I don't like
trees.
You're not
cows, and
you're not pretty. So
you don't
like opposite of probably the drive. So
well, that's
I like. We're going to play some golf.
That's why the majority of the people listen to this podcast and they don't watch it.
I like that we're playing golf today. It's a little family goals outing.
Let's do it. I'm interested in seeing what kind of game Wes has. I know what kind of game you have.
Yeah, and then we can talk some trash on the pod.
That would be good. This could be maybe you'll beat me.
This is what you do. You play golf all the time, so you should win at some point.
It's pretty much, I'm not a pastor who plays golf. I'm a golfer who happens to be a pastor.
That's when you love.
You like my hat?
Second ball, scratch golfer.
Second ball, scratch. This is like perfect for me. So TJ Scoggins got this for me because we're always, you duff a shot and then you throw it at another ball just to see what you would have done if you would have hit it right.
Yeah.
And it's like you always hit like this gorgeous, we call them Bubba balls. Like Bubba's
really good.
Bubba is really good. Yeah. Of course, you don't play that ball, but you know, if I would have played it. So anyway, I like the hat.
So what's the point of that? Like golfer. I see a lot of people do that all the time. Are we working on our swing? Because the shot's over. It's not the same shot. There's no pressure. It doesn't matter. So we just want to hit another one just to get a feel for something.
I guess there's just something in you that wants to. What would have been if you would have hit it how you're supposed to hit it?
Yeah, I don't do that. I just walk to my ball and hit the
next one. I'm trying to get my mind to hit the second ball first.
Good luck with that. If you could do that, you would be a multi-gazillionaire, because if you figure that out, everybody in the world would buy it.
But a lot of it has to do with the it's pressure. It's like there's no pressure. It's like hitting the putt the second time, like you make it. Like Bubba makes it. So I've got to get in my head, like, why is there pressure anyway? It's not like I'm playing for money or anything.
I don't know, but Bubba is the perfect word for your putting. Like, if you were a putter, and if you think of the way a person named Bubba would putt, that's the way Pastor Jay putts.
I need you to give me some putting lessons.
That's not your strength.
It's not my strength, but...
But that's okay. We'll get after it today a little bit. I won't talk any trash. I will be behaved.
You're always in my ear. I'm trying to hit like a shot, and Davey's in my ear going, "You're going to hit it in the sand. You're going to hit it in the sand." Like trying to.
I don't say that. I say, "Do you want to go to the beach?" I did not say you're going to hit it in the sand. I'm talking about spring break.
You're always
asking if you want to go to the lake. Like I'm not asking you if you're going to hit your ball there. I'm just asking questions and having conversation. Why do you take it negative? It's not negative. Do you like the beach?
You like to try to get in my head. You like trash talking me while I'm.
There is no trash talking you, because you are literally the and I don't mean this like I kind of do, but like you're the laziest golfer slash like just it's just yeah. Like it's just, I mean, you're swinging about 20%. Like there's probably women in high school that have higher swing speeds than you. And so it's not like it really matters. You're just going to go out there and just dee, 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 and then thank God you can't putt. Like that's the only reason it's going to be a match.
That's why it's close, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited about getting out there. It is like frigid.
Yeah.
It is like frigid.
That's why I'm
cold.
Playing with you, because nobody will play with me in the cold. So you're like 20th down the speed dial.
Our club's not even open. Like the greens, greens are shut. They said they're saving the greens.
For
they,
what?
They got the greens covered.
I don't understand that. Yes, I get it in like Wisconsin. There's snow all over the ground. What's the temperature today? It's like 30 or 40, right?
It's in the 20s. What are you talking
about?
So
if you walk outside, you get your body temperature up, and then you go
get out there,
get your ball, and you keep walking, and you keep your body temperature up. I don't know. We'll see today. Now the wind can make things difficult. The wind can make it hard. But that's enough golf. Even though I'll have another golf story for you.
Yeah. Once you beat me, I'm sure we'll hear all about it on the podcast. Once you score better than 100%. Me, yeah. All right, so I'm bearing gifts today.
Oh, nice.
I got something for you and Lindsay.
This is for me and Lindsay?
That's for you and Lindsay. Yeah. That's from Greystone Church.
Oh, nice.
This kind of, it's from me.
Nice little hoodie.
Nice little quarter.
Oh, nice.
A Peyton Manning quarter zip.
So this is mine, right?
That's for Lindsay. I don't think you could fit in the small.
That's really good looking. Appreciate that, brother.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I like to give you.
I love the logo gear. I love the.
Yeah, do you really?
I love the Greystone logo gear.
Yeah, we got some good gear. I got that for all the staff and their spouses, and I figured the Family Goals is an extension of Greystone Church.
Yeah, appreciate
that. It's a part of.
I didn't get you anything.
Part of Greystone Church. I don't expect it.
Next podcast, I'm coming with gifts.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've given me things.
Yeah.
You pass on some of the wealth to me.
Some of those shoes, those purple shoes that you like.
I was going to ask you. I have no basketball shoes right now.
You don't play basketball, so why do you
need basketball
shoes? I
don't. But if I was asked to play, if someone said, "Hey, Pastor Jay, we need you. Like we need like one more for our pickup game," I would not have any. I don't know what happened to those shoes. Those were like 15 years old. You got those at LSU.
Yeah, those were at LSU.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
By the way,
to
I heard our church league. I heard that they played that league anyways. I think they just didn't want us in it.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think so.
Because your team won the championship.
I don't
every
know,
year.
But like,
TJ and them.
I heard the other day that they played the league
last year.
Yeah, they played it last year.
Oh, because wow.
Somebody invited one of my buddies who played with us for years to go.
Okay,
and I was like, yeah, we didn't know about it. We were told. It wasn't a league, so they're probably just trying to get rid of us.
You probably rubbed some people the wrong way and got
us
on the blacklist.
That's a shocker. That would be surprising.
So I have another gift here. I'm just tons of gifts.
Jeez.
This is from Compassion International.
I thought we already finished the gift-giving season.
Well, there's a reason.
Don't open until
there's
a date on there.
I'm giving you my knife to make it easier.
That's not smart. Don't ever give me a knife. I don't know that that's ever something that we've ever thought would be a good idea.
Yeah, so they.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, there's more. What's in there?
Looks like we got some popcorn.
All right.
Sweet.
All right.
And some Ethiopia pomegranate?
I think it's
grape pomegranate.
I think it's
floral.
Coffee.
That's coffee?
I think that's Ethiopian
coffee.
Yeah,
roasted in Hoover, Alabama.
Did you forget how to read?
It's confusing, okay? Reading is confusing.
Is there a note?
There's too much words, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, thanks for inviting us to be a part of Family Goals Podcast. I can't understand that part. It's exciting, I think, to be a part of it. Thanks for being an amazing advocate for compassion. Merry Christmas, Matt. That's your buddy, Matt?
There you go. Yeah, Matt Wilson.
There you go. Matt, sweet.
So I think what it is Ethiopian Christmas is January 7th.
Ah,
that's the whole, like,
gotcha.
Wait till okay. January 7th. So
that's their Christmas. We went to somewhere one time in a museum and like all the different Christmas traditions across the country. It's kind of mm-hmm. wild when you learn everybody's different.
Everyone celebrates.
Everybody celebrates
on a different,
different
day.
Times, different days, different people, mm-hmm. different things. So appreciate that, Matt.
Yeah. So we haven't talked in forever. I want to go all the way back and celebrate North Oconee Football High School State Championship. How awesome was that?
It was pretty fun, man.
Y'all had a great run.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun because it was one of those years that when we started, I don't think anybody really thought we were going to win a state championship. Hmm. I think we knew we'd be good, but I didn't think we'd be that good this year.
Was it your coaching?
No, definitely was not. I'm a very small part of what they do. But no, it was just some of the players stepping up and making plays and some younger kids that didn't have a lot of experience stepping up and making plays. And so it's always fun to be a part of it. But it was cool. The next day, it was on a Monday night, we won. And sitting down with Lindsay, I was like, the next day. And I was like, you know, it is awesome. And I'm so thankful and I'm glad. I'm like, but our life didn't change. Like, it doesn't change today because of what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
it made you a little more happy.
Well, it kind of makes you go, okay, did I enjoy the ride? And I think that's with all of us for life, man. Like, am I enjoying the ride, right? Like, the destination and where I'm trying to get to, that's fantastic. But wherever we get there, are we going to be happy or sad? Or I don't think you know how you're going to feel when you get there. But I do know that we got to make sure that we enjoy the ride. Bring others along with us, mm-hmm. you know, treat the kids right, love on them, help them grow, otherwise it's not worth it, you know. So it was fun. It was awesome. It was super cool. It was something our school's never done. It was fun to celebrate with the kids. But I think the next day, a couple weeks later, it's perspective, right?
And you just Coach Brad Williams was enjoying the ride. I heard he was crowd surfing.
You know,
down at the bins.
Brad crowd surfs at North Oconee, but yeah,
Brad's bringing awesome. The energy, huh?
He always does.
Yeah,
always does. And so many coaches on our staff just, you know, they pour into the kids and they love on them, and it makes a difference.
But I was happy for Coach Arndt winning the state championship, and all the players, and so yeah, y'all look good. I watched it on TV.
Yeah,
that Kamari kid.
He's pretty good. Like, he's pretty good at football. He's pretty good at football, and he's just as good at basketball. So,
can we get that kid down to LSU?
They're recruiting him. They offered him a scholarship.
Are they? Yeah. Yeah. Well, they should. Yeah, I don't want to get into talking about LSU.
Why not? But, transfer portal's been good to you guys.
Has it?
Nussmeier came back. Like, yeah. LSU football.
I love Nuss, man.
Will be in a better
Nussmeier.
Spot next year than they were this year. So,
I hope so.
Improving.
I hope so.
Brian Kelly. And listen, everybody's learning this new world, too. It's a new world. It's
a crazy thing,
new world.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I was talking to a head coach yesterday just talking about how the guardrails are coming and all the things that are going to change college football and make it a little bit easier. But how the recruiting is so much different and coaching is different and getting kids to buy in is different. So there's a lot that goes into it that's difficult.
Yeah, so who you have winning the semis?
I think everybody has Ohio State winning.
Winning the whole – I mean, they look good.
They've been the best team in the playoff.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, they've played good teams and they made them look like they're bums.
Are they playing Texas?
They play Texas, yeah.
And then Penn State, Notre Dame.
Yep.
Who do you have in that one?
I got Notre Dame in that one, in a close one. I think that one you play 10 times, you might get 5 on one side, 5 on the other. Two good teams, very evenly matched, very similar. But
what's
Riley
the
Leonard,
tight end's name for Penn State?
Oh, Ty Warren.
That kid.
Dude's a freak elite. He's an absolute – he's very Bowers-esque.
I didn't know anything about him until the playoffs. I was like, this kid's a stud.
You didn't know anything about him until the playoffs?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, see, that's so weird. Yeah, thanks for watching the show, the podcast, and college football. That's so foreign to me because, like, that guy, you talk about him all year long because he's such a freak.
Yeah.
And he's Bowers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he's been doing all year long. Like, he had 17 receptions in one game against USC. And
really?
Oh, they throw him the ball a million different ways. He plays quarterback. They'll snap it to him and he'll run it.
Really?
He's played running back. He's played center. He's played punter. He's played receiver. Like, that dude is he's literally like the ultimate chess piece.
Okay.
Really fun. Really fun dude.
So is he going pro? Is he going into the draft?
He's definitely going pro, yeah. Okay. He's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not as in the know on the college football as you are. I mean, I honestly quit watching game day. Since you're no longer on the show.
just boycotting now? You like forget that crap?
Kind of.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not as interested in it anymore. I mean, maybe I was more in the know back then because I would watch it because you were on there.
And we give you some good details and figure it out.
But now I'm out playing golf on Saturday mornings.
That a boy. That's how it should be right there.
So you wanna dive in here?
Yeah,
let's
give some people something to actually take away to maybe make them a little better.
So we kicked off a new series at church. I love the start of it, a new year, because it's a clean slate, clean start. And I was joking with our church that, hey, if you're in church today, you're 100% attendance.
Yes.
Like, you've done pretty good. So one of my buddies was watching online because his wife was sick, and he said I was guilt ridden when you said that because I realized I'm 0% attendance.
But if you were listening, if he was listening. That counts as attendance, doesn't it?
He wasn't there.
But oh, I thought he was
zero attendance.
I thought he was listening online though.
He was listening online. He was watching. Yeah.
Like, you're not very many people have the discipline to listen online. So I'll give you at least partial credit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a
so. Hey, there's a lot of grace around Greystone Church. I mean, I don't know if you've been noticing, but I've been preaching a lot lately on grace.
Why?
God's amazing. It's just what God's led me to preach on.
Yeah. I think there's a lot going on in our world, and there's a lot of people that I think there's a lot of people in the past that have struggled with dealing with Christians and how they are, and sometimes, you know, aggressive and sometimes judgy. And I think that I found in every situation, in every circumstance, man, like, I think the ones that have authentic relationships that show grace, I think you get a lot more success with that. And I mean, I thought it was cool. Joe Rogan had that guy on yesterday. Find his name for me, Wes, please, so I can actually talk to, like, give him some credit. But, like, it was really, really cool to listen to the, like, I think Jesus is making a comeback. I really do. Mm. I love Jamie Chadwell's shirt for Liberty. Like, he wore.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, it says he won, yeah. Right?
Like, Jesus won.
Jesus won. Wesley Huff. And, but the guy on with Rogan yesterday, Wesley Huff.
Like, oh, Jolin was telling me about him. It was, he's awesome. Like an apologetics kind of guy.
And there's so much, like, Rogan's been pretty clear throughout the years where he stands, and he doesn't adhere to being a Christian. But to have a guy on like that, in a time like this in the world, and he gets so many millions of people to listen to his stuff, but that guy literally laid out the gospel and laid out the background and the historical context of Jesus. And I just think it's cool, man.
On the Joe Rogan show.
On the Joe Rogan show. It's pretty awesome. It's just cool to see. I think we're in a world, man, like, I think it's because obviously the election had something to do with that. Like, the way in which it happened with podcasts being used and people having to, and free speech, and with the ability now to have free speech, I think people are now allowed to say that name of Jesus again. Like, for a while it was so, like, you know, there was so many things that, like, you could say a lot of things, but you couldn't say that, and people got offended. And now I think it's really cool what's going on in our society. I feel like it's really swinging the other way. And dude, I had a guy, and I want to get your take on what I just said, but I had a guy reach out to me who plays in the NFL and was just like, hey man, I've been watching your stuff online, which is our stuff, with Family Goals and stuff. And just, I love the way you talk and the way you carry yourself. And I love the way you talk about Jesus. And I'd love to grow in my relationship with Jesus. And could you help?
That's awesome.
Like, that's, yeah. I think there's a lot more curiosity. And I think if we live with that grace, and we show that grace, and we consistently show up with consistency, and in the way we treat people, everyone, not just certain people, I think it's something that people look at and it goes, that's different. I want it. So,
well, I think grace is so attractive to people, but to your point, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because certain Christians have louder voices, but what gets played in the media is always, seems to be all the negative side of things, and kind of the crazy, you know, preacher outside the football stadium, you know, calling the sorority sisters certain names and telling them they're going to hell, when really, like, I recently read The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, which I want to give you a copy of that. I love the book so much, like, I'd already read it, and
just read it again?
I wrapped my copy of it and gave it to my dad for Christmas.
I feel like that's, we talk about me being cheap. That's pretty cheap.
And when my dad was
why is there highlighted pages, Dad? Like,
he said, it's already highlighted. He said, I can just read the highlighted parts.
I wrapped a book that I had read and highlighted and gave it to my dad for Christmas.
It wasn't that I was being cheap. It's what I wanted to order him a copy, and it was like too late at the time. And so I just, like, I'm just going to.
So it wasn't that you were cheap. It was that you didn't think about him. You were
unprepared
and not thoughtful.
Well, I mean, I gave my dad several gifts, but I thought, man, he would really enjoy this book. And we even going back to the Banquet of Blessings, I told the story on Christmas Eve of Sean, the homeless person that you introduced me to, that you wanted to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And it was so good because I'd been reading the Ragamuffin Gospel that week. I'd read several chapters. And so I was able to share with him more from a grace. The guy was so, he felt so much shame and so much guilt because of the lifestyle he had chosen to live. And he'd made some promises to God that he hadn't been able to follow up on. And he'd spent his paycheck that day on alcohol. And the guy was just like guilt ridden.
Yeah.
But the message I was able to share with him is that God loves you just the way you are. He accepts you who you are. I mean, Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came for drunks. Jesus came for the homeless. Jesus came for the prostitutes.
He didn't come for the righteous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not for the Pharisees. It's for the, he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. And so, I don't know, just that grace message. I mean, the guy started crying. Like, we're sitting there at the Classic Center, and, you know, Josh and the band are playing in the background, and everyone's eating and having so much fun. And here this guy is in front of me, just weeping. he's just broken and couldn't believe that God would accept him just the way that he is. And isn't that the gospel? That's the the gospel. We get it backwards and we think that we have to repent first and we have to make all these changes first, but we don't get to heaven by our good works. We get to heaven by his grace. It's after we understand his forgiveness, how can we then not repent? Yeah. You know, it's a...
Well, and here's another thing too. If you're in a spot like where you're a new believer and you're feeling all this guilt and you're feeling all this shame about what you're doing, which is probably part of your old life, I think one thing that's really cool about that is I would say that's a really good thing. Like, why? Because that means you don't want to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You've been
convicted. That means you've been convicted of what you're doing. So if you've got, if you've got those feelings inside of you if you're a new believer or a kind of new believer, and that those are things that's a good thing that you should listen to and try to solve. It's not always going to be the case. You're not always going to solve it, and you're going to continue to fail. But we just want to keep failing forward and keep giving more of it to God. And the more we give to him, the more he'll continue to take it away. And you'll look up and you'll be like, oh, man, like I kind of got rid of that a little bit. Like, again, I don't think you're going to get rid of all of it. Like, it's just because we're going to continue. It's just like when people say, and we've talked about this a lot, but when people say, I can't believe that happened to him or I can't believe that happened to her, they're a good person. We're not good people. Yeah. None of us. Like, I'm not, you're not. Yeah. We're doing this podcast and we're talking about awesome things and we're educated on things and we're still really bad people. Mm-hmm. Like, we are. Like, and but we got a God that loves us just the way we are and a God that can help fill in those gaps that we have that where we're broken and continue to get us better and continue to grow, but we're always going to be broken. We're always going to need someone else. We're always going to need him, Jesus, God. Like that's part of our life here on earth. So I think
We're saved by God's grace, but we also live out the Christian life by God's grace. And I think so many people they understand saved by grace, but then they try to live out this Christian life by human effort, by doing good and then they keep falling short. But we all need to understand that we need God's grace every day, and we have to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And everybody does things every day that they feel guilty about. Maybe it's someone might smoke a cigarette, or someone might look at something that they shouldn't be looking at, like looking at something.
Didn't treat somebody the way you wanted to treat them.
You're in a certain situation.
You missed the opportunity.
And you feel guilty, but God's grace is sufficient. That's the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross. His grace is sufficient for us, not just for salvation, but to live out the Christian life. And yes, we're going to fall short every day, but we live in that grace. And when we are weak, he is strong. Mm. And I think tapping into that Holy Spirit power in you, that he enables us to do things that we normally can't do in and of ourselves.
And that's what... If you want to be a stronger witness, and that's something that's really important to you, and you want to continue to bring people to church and to find their faith, that's the best way you're going to do it. Listen, I know people are going to be on the street corner and they're going to be telling people they're going to hell. I personally don't think that's the most effective way. But if it works for some people, then that's awesome and that's great. Mm-hmm. And if that convicted some people, but I mean, I think the way you live your life unapologetically, the way you love people and treat people, I think that is so huge. Like, because so many people like look at you and go, oh, I saw the way you treated them. I don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. And then they can also do the reverse and go, I saw the way you treated them. That was special. That was different. Why did you do that? Why did you treat them the way they treated them when they're spitting at you, basically, and they're fuming at you and they're cursing at you? But that's not my responsibility. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to yell back. Like, I'm going to try to represent God in the most positive way I can and love people the most I can. And realize, like, instead of judging, which I've told you, I'm notorious for doing. Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Like, I'm a judgmental butthole. Like, I am. Instead of doing that, like, the older I'm getting, and I'm still not perfect by any stretch at it, but like, I don't know their story. I don't know what's going on, but like, I wish they didn't do this, but there's something that's in the way, something that's stopping them from doing this. And how can I help them find it? Or how can I be a part of the solution as a part of the problem? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. instead of saying, oh God, I'm not going to deal with that. Like, I can't believe you're doing that. I can't believe you're doing that. Like, how can I be a part of the solution a little bit? Like, mm-hmm. what can I say? What can I do? Obviously the most important thing is the way I live it and the way I talk and treat people. And, but instead of the judgmental part, man, I got to slap myself constantly. Like, you don't have it figured out there, bro.
Well, I think understanding, like, I think the banquet of blessings, it's a beautiful night. And you realize every one of those people who are homeless, something happened in their life. You don't know their story. And maybe they made some mistakes. Maybe they made some bad decisions. Or maybe they didn't. I mean, maybe that was the lot that they were dealt in life. And so I think how we treat people are always watching us. I think especially if you have the more people who know you, the more people are watching you. And of course, we always talk about our kids watching us all the time, but
all the time
there are people, I'm sure you get it way more than me, but I'm realizing more and more and more that people know who I am, even if I don't know who they are.
Oh yeah. you ain't gonna get away with nothing. And here's the thing, when you mess up, it's gonna mean more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's a part of the
big responsibility.
That's a huge responsibility. It's a part of the job. That's a part of anybody who's been very outspoken. Jamie Chadwell, like we just talked about, who wore that shirt and has been outspoken about his faith. If he goes and messes up and something happens to him, first thing people are going to do is post that picture of that shirt online and be like, "Oh, this is why you committed infidelity." Like, really? Like, you wear this shirt, immediately going to be judgmental. And again, if we operate under the assumption and we live our life under the assumption that we're going to screw up and we're going to mess up in the future, like, how we own that and give it to God and handle it moving forward, I think is really, really important. Because if we don't own it, if we don't wear it and we don't acknowledge it, like, a lot of times then we're continuing to, we're not reconciling that with God, right? Like, we don't make excuses. Like, when we mess up, when we treat somebody the way we shouldn't, we apologize. We tell them that we messed up. We tell them how, like, I got to do better. And we keep working and keep growing and try not to make the same mistake again. And when you're in the next opportunity, try to pass it, right? Try to pass the test as opposed to, you know, failing it. By the way, during your sermons every week, I take the, we have a note card. And for those watching, like, it looks like this. And so every week I fill out the blanks before you go. And then I grade myself on the grading curve. I'm like, okay, there was 7 blanks. I missed 2. Like, how many? I grade my answers. Now my kids do it too. So we're literally,
a lot of people do that. And so I started,
I gave myself a 25 the other day. That wasn't good.
I started changing some of the blanks to make it a little bit harder to try to guess what the blanks, because I know people do that.
I love it.
And
me and Nicholas and Leah do it every time. Yeah.
So what is your percentage of, are you like 80% right?
I think knowing you really well helps.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably, you know, 75 to 80% most of the time. I'll have some bad days. If you use some context clues and look at the heading of the sermon, it really helps.
Yeah, and the
I try not to use the verses or the heading of the sermon. And I try to just answer it. And most of the time I'm good. And then when I look at Nicholas answered a bunch of his, and then he looked at this heading this past week, he was like, oh crap. Like, okay, now I get it. Like, I should have looked there first. It's a fun part of church. It's like bingo.
Yeah. You know? So the question or the topic was misleading this week, but a lot of people have this question of, are you good enough to go to heaven? And, you know, I started off with the bad news that no one's good enough. Like, no one's really good enough. And then we got in.
But I think that's important.
Yeah.
Like, starting there.
But a lot of people have the mentality of, am I good enough to get to heaven? And when I get to heaven, is God going to give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down? And I have guys in my small group. Like, we talk about the gospel all the time. I mean, I preach the gospel all the time. And I'll have guys say, I hope I've done enough to get to heaven. I'm thinking, you have been in church for 10 years. Have you not been listening to what we're saying, that you don't get to heaven through your good works? And so we have.
So they look at it like it's Gladiator, like, kill or don't kill. Like, thumbs up, thumbs down. He's not good enough. Kill him. He's good enough.
I mean, I can't imagine living my whole life and then wondering, did I do enough to get there?
I think doubts are normal.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
yeah.
I know where I'm going when I die. I'm 100% certain. When you do the Lord's Prayer and you ask people who are not believers to who want to accept Jesus for the first time, and I mean, I make sure it took. I do it again usually. Like, I know I'm saved.
Oh, you pray the prayer again.
I pray the prayer again. Like, yeah. I know exactly where I'm going. We're all going to have doubts, and we're going to have crazy thoughts in our head. Mm-hmm. That I've had thoughts that I'm like, what the heck? Like, how am I a person walking with Jesus and trying to do well, and I have that thought in my head? Like, 100% I've had that thought. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about just something that's so outlandish, outrageous, that I wouldn't even want to share with people. And those are going to happen. So anybody mm-hmm. that has those, I don't want you to think, like, I think that's the problem. We think those thoughts and we're like, really? Like, no, because we're not good enough, because we live in this fleshy body that's going to continue to fail us, and a fleshy brain that's going to continue to fail us. And most of the time, our default is not good, is ungood. That's going to continue to happen. But don't let that deter where you're at and mm-hmm. what your growth is. Those thoughts are going to come. Those thoughts need to go as fast as they come. You don't need to dwell on them. You literally shake your head and you're like, that is not from God. I do not want any mm-hmm. part of that in my life. Like, I rebuke that. Get the heck out of here. But it's doubts, like those in different seasons and different lives, you're going to feel more confident than others, just like you do with your body or with your hair or mm-hmm. with whatever else. And but the ultimate understanding is knowing, like, I don't lose this. Like, this is not something that because I acted a certain way or did a certain thing that I lost this. This mm-hmm. is not your keys. Okay, this is not your keys that you can lose. Like, you are not going,
yeah.
Salvation is not something that because you messed up today, you're going to lose. God is very, very clear about that. So you need to operate that. Like, and that needs to be a switch of, I'm a saint that sins, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am a child of God, but I'm going to mess up. And as soon as I do, that's okay. Like, it's okay. Just like a child of, your child, like, they're going to mess up and they're going to, you know, they're not going to bring honor all the time to what you do and what you want to do, but you still forgive them and love them. And God's going to do the same thing for us.
Mm-hmm. You're getting a little bit into my message this upcoming week.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
You're on the right page.
I can already feel out the blanks then.
Yeah.
You're also going through Joseph. So like, it's so hard. You're going through the story of Joseph, and it's so hard, like, not to, cause we'll talk about the message with the kids, and it's like, all right, don't get into the other stuff yet, because there's Potiphar's wife is coming and other stuff is coming. And like, so I obviously try not to get
it.
Sorry about that.
Understanding who you are in Christ. And you mentioned, and I've been saying a lot, we're all sinners in need of a savior, but really you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. And understanding who you are in Christ and how God sees you, and you need to see yourself that way. So instead of I don't know. I've had a little bit of a cold. I'm trying to get over.
Too much whiskey last night. Pastor Jay doesn't drink whiskey.
I don't drink whiskey. Please.
He doesn't. He likes vodka.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't even drink alcohol.
We don't even use the real wine at the Lord's Supper table.
You go with the grape juice? Absolutely.
We're grape juice. So we're not like the whiskey.
Is this a bad thing, by the way? Am I going to hell for this, Pastor Jay? I feel like I need to.
For drinking whiskey?
No. Well, I mean, no, I'm not going to drink whiskey anyways. But like, is it bad that when I take communion and I grab the little cup and stuff that I'm thinking about the caloric intake? Is that a problem? I'm like, I haven't eaten. I'm fasting. I'm trying not to spike my blood sugar. I don't want to elicit a response. I don't want anything that's digestible in my system. Is that a problem?
I think the problem is overthinking.
Is that hell worthy right there?
I think if you're fasting, the one thing you could take would be the Lord's the Lord's Supper and the bread and the juice. So, I'm looking down here. Wesley Huff, he was the guy on Rogan. I'm wondering
Wesley Huff.
Yeah. What did he say? I know we're jumping all over the place.
Well, he was on for over an hour. So, but I
think his podcasts last like 3 hours, don't they?
Yeah, they last a long time, which is why I'm out. I'll watch the Cliff Notes and stuff, and the Trump one was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and J.D. Vance.
Yes, it was cool to see. Yeah, it was cool to like. It's cool to listen to that stuff too. But I mean, Joe Rogan basically, I liked it because it was cool because he was like, "Hey, man, so tell me about this. Tell me about that. How did this message get to the world? Like how is it possible?
Like the message of Christ?
Yeah. Like how does this guy come and how is it documented like this with so many illiterate people and so many uneducated people that they could get all of this documented, that the story is consistent throughout time and it's 2,000 years later and we're talking about this? Like how is that even possible? How is it possible that this dude died? How is it possible that, like, is it possible? And he was asking, like, Rogan, that's what I love about Rogan, like, very inquisitive, very talkative. You know, he's willing to ask questions and let you answer. And so, like, he would just be like, okay, well, how do we know that Jesus was resurrected? And then the guy would be like, Wesley Huff, he was like, well, you know, he appeared to over 400 people, you know, and this is the story that's written in very fact-driven, very, as a matter of fact, very, this is well-documented. Talked about, this is one of the things that really has always given me extreme confidence is talked about the disciples and how they thought it was over too, and they had quit, and they were done, and they went back to their lives, and then talked about how Jesus appeared, and then all of a sudden, this went bananas and bonkers, and the whole Rome Empire and everything that was there was in 2 years was completely transformed. Like the world was totally different because of these dudes. And then talk, obviously their deaths to me is always like, you don't die for a lie. If I lied and I said something, oh, this guy from Jesus, I saw him resurrected. And then somebody comes to me and is like, hey, you're telling me you saw that dude in the flesh. Like you saw him resurrected. If you say that again, I'm going to kill you. Every single person would be like, "I was just kidding. Yeah. I'm out, bro. Like, done. I don't want to get crucified upside down like Peter, right? Like, I and the fact that these dudes were able to sit there and say 100,000,000% yes, I saw him. Like, I talked to him. I spoke with him. Like, everything he talked about.
Like, we ate a meal together.
We had a meal together. Like, he provided, right? Yeah. Like, I mean." So I think it was really cool for Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan's.
So he's just asking these inquisitive questions. He's
asking questions,
investigating.
Like, correct, and he's asking questions from a historical context, which is what people need to understand. Mm-hmm. Like people, the smartest, some of the most influential Christians in our society in the history of our world, like they were atheists. They were going to look C.S. Lewis to disprove, to discredit, to discount. And I think that's the problem. A lot of times we take the world's view of what's going on and, you know, social media's view and X's view, and you get one moment, one snippet, as opposed to, for yourself, asking these really hard questions. So, you know, if you're a non-believer and you're watching this and or if you're somebody that wants to answer questions that are going to be difficult about your faith, like, it's really good from that context because he asked it in a very non-aggressive way, but like, how does this happen? How do we get here? And the answers for Wesley Huff was really, really, really good and very prepared and very sound and with what he said. I'm not saying everything was perfect, but it was really good.
So what led Joe Rogan to have Wesley Huff on his podcast?
I don't know. You've seen like Joe Rogan's pretty clear about like, this didn't simultaneously combust. Like he's a very intelligent guy. And I think
like the Big Bang Theory,
anybody who's kind of intelligent, and I'm not knocking anybody, but like we don't really, how do you not believe in a higher power? Mm-hmm. Like the way we're created and the world we live in, like you kind of, there's something that happened. And if you're telling me it's gas and molecules, like just, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world, so I don't necessarily struggle with it as much, but I'm not buying that crap at all. Like, I know.
Well, that takes just as much faith.
Yeah, it takes just as much faith to believe that we came out of nothing.
Yeah.
And we were made, we were created. Like we were obviously designed, like, and we were created to do something and to be here and to effectively. And so Joe's always believed that we didn't just simultaneously combust, but I think just asking questions about that, it's been cool. Cause I like Joe Rogan. I don't love the cursing, but I like the way he asks questions and he's inquisitive and he brings on health people that I love, and sleep experts and, you know, supplement experts and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. That's right in my wheelhouse. But it was a cool conversation. A conversation that I think so many people that are non-believers are listening to that show, millions probably, that, okay, that's a good thought. Like, to see something in a different light, to hear something in a different light, not a judgy, not a preachy, because I think there's a lot of people that are out there that they're not really willing to go step foot in a church. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not their thing. They don't want to be associated with that. And I think they're kind of hesitant to do it and what comes with it. But everybody clicks a button and it feels comfort in your own zone with your headphones. Yeah. So I think that interview could do a lot and could be really beneficial to a lot of people that are in a lot of, that are in different walks mm-hmm. than we're in. I mean, people listening to this are probably pretty strong in their faith, growing in their faith. But that's those, I think that audience is probably a lot different, which is really cool. I think it'll make a big impact.
Well, I think we were going to get into my message a little bit. We got next week.
That's perfect.
We got next week.
We get right into it.
We'll save it for.
We had no clue we were going with any of this. That's what I love about it, man. That's why I don't prepare, Pastor Jay. You got all those notes and we literally covered like one sentence. Two sentences.
You know what time it is.
It's fantastic. What time is it?
Time to hit the golf course.
Hey, baby. Look out. Georgia Club, boarding them windows up.